Okay, we had to do it. It's been a big week for Cleveland, but hey, this city's used to royalty, rock royalty. They say the phrase rock and roll was born here. So, of course, we went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. What's this experience been like, being here?
For the short time that we've been here, it's just amazing.
We're from Kentucky. Of course, I know Cleveland rocks and a lot of the radio history that went down here, but we love the city. We're just knocked out by it.
I think it's great. It's really fun just to see everything.
Feel it. Like, you can really feel the music.
Yeah, can't you?
Down one hall, listening booths where you can call up your favorite one-hit wonder. How fun is this that you get to pick different songs?
It's so much fun. I love it. Yeah. Especially because they're one-hit wonders and you usually forget about them. So when you can come here and you can just pick them and you all get reminded of it, it's so much fun.
So here we have Michael Sembello's Maniac. In the next booth, a couple and their two boys.
It's valuable for us to share our experiences as children.
Are you really, though, claiming that you listened to this song?
I grew up listening to this because this is what my mom listened to.
Okay, all right. Guys, what do you think of it?
Love it. It's one of my favorite one-hit wonders.
So why is the Hall of Fame here? Well, Cleveland fought for it. We met with Meredith Rutledge Borger, associate curator at the museum, to learn more.
Cleveland had a reputation for being the last stop or one of the last stops on the Underground Railroad. It had the code name of Hope. And as a result, a large African-American population grew up around here. Also, during the Great Migration between the two world wars, there were lots of manufacturing jobs here, and a lot of African-Americans from the South made Cleveland their home. And in those African-American neighborhoods, there was a rich tradition of music that really blossomed here in Cleveland.
Tell us about that, because we know the blues came from the South and that birthed rock and roll, but Cleveland had a DJ in particular. But tell us more about Cleveland's claim.
Well, it really kind of starts with that DJ, Alan Freed. He had a love for African American culture and music, and he championed it and played African American music on his radio show.
Hello, everybody. Hi, all. This is Alan Freed, the old king of the Moondoggers, and a hearty welcome to all our thousands of friends in Northern Ohio, Ontario, Canada, Western New York, Western Pennsylvania, West Virginia.
He had a nightly radio show called the Moondog House Show. He played songs by the Dominoes and Chuck Berry.
And I think he wanted us to hear Screamin' Jay Hawkins.
Yeah, he was a big booster of Screamin' Jay.
I put a spell on you. Cause you're mine.
And he... his audience was changing. He had a large African-American audience, but there were a lot of white teenagers who were listening as well. They wouldn't have cared that he was playing black music, but their parents might have. So we think that he started calling the music rock and roll to kind of disguise the fact that it was black music. And rock and roll was a term that had existed in African-American vernacular for years as a euphemism for sex. And it had cropped up in a lot of song titles and lyrics and jazz, blues, rhythm and blues. He started calling the music rock and roll, and his sponsors were all up in arms because they're like, oh, rock and roll, that's dirty. You can't use that term. And Alan said, you know what? White people won't know what it means, and black people won't care. So we're going to go with it.
And thus, you know, a whole genre was born. So that's sort of in the 50s. We want to go through other sounds from Cleveland, because Cleveland has maintained a hold on rock and roll. Take us to the 60s.
Well, in the 60s, there was just a huge flowering of garage music and rhythm and blues and soul music here in Cleveland. The song that I really wanted to talk about is The Valentinos. It's All Over Now. Valentinos were a group of brothers, the Womack brothers.
Is this Bobby Womack?
Bobby Womack was one of the Valentinos. He was one of the singing Womack brothers, and they sang in the church, in their father's church, and they got hooked up with Sam Cooke and recorded It's All Over Now, and of course the Rolling Stones covered it. later, and it was one of their first big hits.
Well, not the first time the Stones would steal from another band, but moving on to the 70s and Cleveland Sound.
The 70s song that I want to talk about is Final Solution by Para Ubu. Cleveland in the 70s was kind of on the skids. We'd seen better days. We were on the way towards going into default. And Para Ubu's music really reflected that kind of darkness and kind of nihilism and rebellion, teenage rebellion.
Well, so that's the 70s, Para Ubu. We move on to the 80s, and perhaps shall we genuflect? I'm not sure. One of the great rock artists of all time.
I certainly think so. I just
take a moment of prayer
to the goddess Chrissy Hynde.
I like the way you cross the street, cause you're
precious.
Moving through the Cleveland heat, how precious.
She left Cleveland to go to England and put together this band called The Pretenders that roared like a Harley Davidson going down the shoreway, which is one of our main highways here. And in the song Precious, she actually name checks the shoreway. So
how great for Cleveland.
Yeah, it was just such an amazing thing to hear places from my childhood being sung about in such a incredible punk rock way on the radio.
So Chrissy Hynde, The Pretenders in the 80s. In the 90s, I don't know if everybody knows, Nine Inch Nails, Cleveland.
Yeah. Trent Reznor is actually from Western Pennsylvania. You know, started his career here in Cleveland. So we claim him. We claim him. And he claims Cleveland, too. I think he feels like a Clevelander. His song Hurt from The Downward Spiral, it came out in 1994, really is one of the darker of his vision. I mean, he really reaches down into dark experiences to bring the song out in a really visceral way.
So take us into the aughts.
For the aughts, we've got the Black Keys, their 2006 song, Your Touch. It's just two guys, you know, it's Dan Auerbach and Patrick Carney. Drums and guitar, and for two guys, they make a lot of noise and pack a punch.
And you got it so much. I'm crazy for your touch.
We're listening to the sounds of Cleveland at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame here in Cleveland with Associate Curator Meredith Rutledge Borger. Take us into present time. Who do you want us to hear from Cleveland that's from now?
Yeah, well, there's a guy named who calls himself Obnox. The song that I've got on repeat is Slaughter Culture. And he name checks everybody from Michael Jackson to Anita Ward, Ring My Bell, Jimi Hendrix, and really has all those different kinds of influences sort of mixed together in a melting pot, like Cleveland.
Where do you see what Cleveland is here in the Cleveland part of the museum and in Cleveland music? How would you define it through the music?
I would say that the through line of Cleveland music, it's a combination of, you know, a very sort of separated city in terms of race and where the music has been a healing force and a kind of uniting force is when those two separate cultures have gotten together to make music.
That's Meredith Rutledge Borger, Associate Curator at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, best job in the world. We're listening to another one of her picks. This is the Cleveland band Archie and the Bunkers with I'm Not Really Sure What I'm Gonna Do. You can see Meredith's whole list at hearnow.org.